Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Hurry! These July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, guiding me, thanks to his Real Clear Politics piece, to a collection of short essays by educators about the modern university that's gone off the rails, to be metaphorical. It's entitled Which Way the University? A Symposium on Higher Education in the United States. And I learned from John DiIulio that this is the third wave of contest between those who are displeased with the university's product and cost and monoculture and the university who is defending itself because it's making money. The first was William Buckley himself. As I recall, he was an older Yale student at the time and was quite aggressive about an essay that he wrote to deliver at an event that included, I believe, the Secretary of Defense or War. It was something official like that. Yeah. And the essay was suppressed, or please don't do that, Mr. Buckley. You can he published the book, which is God and Man at Yale. That is the first wave. And that one's still rolling over us, Peter. Does Yale remember it?
I do not think that there is a vigorous institutional memory at Yale University of William F. Buckley's 1951 book, God and Men at Yale. There's barely an institutional memory at Yale University of C. Ben Woodward's great report on free speech from the 1970s. You know, a moment ago, I went back and said we should put the current controversy on campus in historical context. I went back to 2015. As you point out, DiIulio goes back all the way to 1951 for the first wave, when he says that the Yale University is not just teaching, but indoctrinating students through the curriculum in atheism and collectivism. The second wave is roughly the late 1980s, early 1990s, marked by books like Ellen Bloom's The Closing of the American Mind and Roger Kimball's Tenured Radicals, which say things are really out of control. The generation of the 60s is now ruling at our universities, and they've brought to the universities the conviction that scholarship and teaching are politics by other means, and the preferred politics is progressive politics. So this is now, more than a generation later, the third great awakening to the ills of our university. And DiIulio is hopeful this time for the reason that we mentioned at the outset, which is because of the national coverage of the outrages from campus of this past year, more people of influence, parents, legislators, and wealthy donors are taking account of the disorder on campus.
Make the universities responsible for the loans that the students take out to enter into a monoculture where they're abused if they're free thinkers in any fashion. Now, that strikes me as a bureaucratic solution and unenforceable, but it does tell the universities that they have misled many of the parents of the students who pay for things. They've misrepresented themselves. You'd actually have to say, if you were buying a car, this is a lemon.
You know, the cost of attending, the one-year cost of attending our elite universities now is approaching $100,000 a year, tuition, room, and board. And if you come out with a variety of degrees from these universities, private universities, not always elite universities, it will be very difficult for you to find a job that will enable you to pay back what often amounts to hundreds of thousands of dollars a year of loans. Now, it has to be emphasized, many of these loans actually are supported by the federal government. So, yes, it will be difficult to enforce, but I think we should consider the Cooper suggestion that universities should be indemnified. Universities should take some responsibility. If they admit students with these mess and allow students to obtain these massive debts, the university should be on the books for some portion of that. And actually, the federal government can condition the provision of federal loans on universities taking some responsibility.
Christopher Rufo of the Manhattan Journal and Joe Lonsdale both write of what you'd have to say are experiments, beta. The College of Florida and the University of Austin. What is it that they're presenting that is another direction, Peter?
So one direction that we've mostly been hinting at is reforming of universities from within, hiring new professors, creating new concentrations. New College Florida involved Governor DeSantis throwing out the then Board of Trustees, staffing it with a new group of six, all of whom were dedicated to liberal education, hiring a new president, and substantially revamping the entire curriculum so as to transform the university into a beacon of liberal education. But they began with a state university. They already had an infrastructure. In contrast, the University of Austin, Texas, is more ambitious. They had the backing of a billionaire, Joe Lonsdale, and the backing of others, and they've created out of nothing a university, small university, opened its doors to its first college class, I believe, this fall, and their purpose is to fill the classical mission of liberal education, which is to transmit knowledge, enlarge the moral imagination, train students to think for themselves. It's a wonderful experiment. They've got some excellent people on their board, teaching on their faculty. I can only say that the nation is in need of 1,000 more experiments like it.
And the universities that were profoundly troubled in the springtime, are they open to these suggestions, Peter?
The jury is still out. There have been some replacements of some firings of university presidents, some replacements of them. I am skeptical that the current university leadership, both in the administration and among the professoriate, will rise to the moment to undertake the necessary reforms. And therefore, I think it's extremely important for those of us who care about universities to continue to forcefully defend the mission of universities, the mission of liberal education, and seek for the variety of arenas in which we can press for reform.
And to contribute as an alumni is difficult because you're not welcome and you're a dissenter. Is the university aware of that?
Not only is the university aware of it, the university counts on it. The university counts on the sentimental memories that alumni have, which they embellish in their imaginations over the decades. They count on alumni continuing to give generously to the alma mater. When alumni inquire, the university administration pats their heads. No matter how successful, so how impressive these men and women are, and say, don't you trouble your pretty little heads about what goes on in the university. It's complicated. We understand that you don't. So what's necessary here is something quintessentially American. What's necessary is for men and women, graduates of our universities, to organize and to base their giving on universities conforming much more closely to the imperatives of liberal education.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew, and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.